I'm Matt Piken, and this is The Porch from BPR News. Today we pose the question, what is our collective responsibility to publicly fund the arts? I also stopped by PAX Square in Asheville recently to ask people why the arts matter to them and why we should pay for the arts.
I grew up in Winston-Salem. You know, we got rid of North Carolina Dance Company decades ago because the state wouldn't fund it. It was a tragedy.
The arts will never pay for themselves. The cost of a ticket will never pay for a symphony orchestra. It'll never, ever happen.
We have to have art. Again, it connects us to our history for future generations to be able to see what we have now.
People do not see a direct return on investment with the arts. If you think about it, like at a restaurant, you have your entree, which is all your stem and all of that. Everyone always sees the arts as the dessert, as it's not necessary. If you want to have the spice of life, it is necessary.
In our last segment, the director of the North Carolina Arts Council spoke of an emphasis at the state legislature on rural arts. There are 100 arts councils across the state. These councils re-grant money from the state to artists and organizations in their communities. They also produce their own events and offer arts education and experience programs through their local schools. Three of our regional ones, in Brevard, Waynesville, and Burnsville, are anchors of their communities, even with reduced staffing because of the pandemic.
It's very easy to sometimes say that the arts are an economic driver for rural communities. And while they absolutely are, I believe there are also quality of life and other benefits that the arts provide to our communities.
Neely Andrews is director of the Tow River Arts Council in Burnsville. On the measures of staff, budget, and programming, it's perhaps the most thriving of all our region's councils. The Tow River Council has 2 full-time and 2 part-time staff, operates galleries in Burnsville and Spruce Pine, and modernized its e-commerce platform for member artists just before the pandemic. Andrews says it all runs on an annual budget of just under $350,000.
The arts sometimes may be seen as not as accessible to people who didn't grow up around artists or arts organizations. And I feel like one of our strongest points as an arts council is that we can bridge that gap and we can say, it's okay if you don't have the experience with art. It's okay that you've never been to a museum or a gallery. We're here for you. A lot of our donors really kind of latch onto that idea and that philosophy. And I really feel like we have people who want to support the arts just because they recognize the value of art for themselves. But we also have funders who support us because they recognize the value of art for our community.
In Waynesville, the Haywood County Arts Council is behind downtown's popular monthly Art After Dark. It also runs a small downtown gallery and, outside a pandemic, offers art classes and a junior Appalachian musicians program to teach traditional mountain fiddle, banjo, and guitar. There's also a young audience program to 4th and 8th graders. On a scant $115,000 annual budget, in addition to raising money for programs it offers for free, the council has created ticketed events just to support its own operations. There are high hopes for the inaugural Smoky Mountains Bluegrass Festival this October. Still, the money arts councils raise for specific programs through grants, sponsors, and donors, such as for the Junior Appalachian Music Program, often doesn't cover the costs.
There should be some additional funding.
Lee Forrester is retiring in May as the executive director of the Haywood County Arts Council.
I can tell you that the county does not provide any funding to the Haywood County Arts Council, and the county doesn't provide any funding that I know of to any of the arts organizations. The town of Waynesville has been helpful, but again, you know, if you're looking at $1,500, that doesn't go very far. When you consider the fact that the arts in a community promotes higher incomes, population growth, it attracts more workers and jobs, encourages visitor spending. The arts organizations provide a great deal to the county, and that they would not have the revenue that they receive if it weren't for the arts.
As it is, the Arts Council supports artists and organizations, but also competes for the relatively small pool of money from grants, sponsors, and donors available to area nonprofits. But Forrester doesn't view it as competition.
We all cooperate. The Haywood County Arts Council helps to install art exhibits in the gallery at the Hart Theater. We work with advertising and helping to sponsor different organizations' events through our newsletter. We'll promote the Haywood Community Band. We'll promote the Haywood Choral Society events. We try to help them, and by helping them, we are helped.
Brevard Music Center and Brevard College are the cultural epicenters of that city, which can obscure the more community-driven work of the Transylvania County Arts Council. A 38-member artist co-op gallery, formed and operated by the council, is a downtown fixture, and the council's Arts and Schools program is a major vein of youth arts education there. Joan Van Orman is a former council board member and now a consultant to the council's staff focusing on fundraising.
Many of our donors and charitable foundations that we receive funds for say, this is for arts in schools. So we may get that check, but it immediately is flagged and goes to arts in schools.
Like many of the rural councils, the Tow River Council grew in the 1970s from the needs of the dozens of painters, sculptors, and crafters living around Burnsville or affiliated with the Penland School in Spruce Pine. The visual arts are still most visible in the council's programming, but Andrews is working to not only diversify the art forms the council serves, but also the broader community. Council staff are partnering with a handful of community organizations inside and outside the arts, handling the setup and administration for projects that don't normally fall under the council's umbrella. This past year, to help get money into the hands of area artists, the council partnered with the Mayland Community College and Small Business Center to bring an e-commerce platform to artists who needed one.
Having a staff that's open to having conversations with our community partners, like how can we have beneficial and honest and real conversations about how what we do can support what you do. And it's not all based in, well, what we think we can do for you is. It's more of a conversation about how can we help each other. And I think we're seeing more and more of that. And I think that's really important in rural communities because, as you know, resources are limited here. And we don't want it to always be competitive because that's an easy thing for nonprofits to do sometimes. And it's important to take a step back and really look to see if what we're doing is beneficial for our community and are we really serving a need? And I think, especially now with the pandemic, a lot of folks are asking themselves that, is our mission really aligned with the work we want to do in our community? And in rural communities, that's more important than ever.
Federal CARES Act money helped prop up arts councils in 2020, but even though programs and events are far from fully reopening, directors expect similar help won't be there this year. Every spring, representatives and supporters from arts councils all over North Carolina lobby legislators through an event called Arts Day. It happened virtually this year, but the mission was the same, building awareness about how the arts impact their communities and hopefully translate that awareness into financial support. Short of a referendum for new revenue streams passing directly through voters, North Carolina's arts councils will continue relying on state legislators year after year for their core revenue. Neely Andrews took part in the Arts Day sessions.
There were some meetings with legislators who were on the Arts Caucus, and so they were very aware of the impact of the arts in Western North Carolina. And then there are some legislators that loved hearing about all of the educational programming we provide to the youth in our community, and they didn't know that we offer free music lessons to every middle school in Mitchell and Yancey County. I think by having programmatic conversations with them about the services we provide, help them make a connection to their own experience.
Van Orman of Transylvania County takes a pragmatic view of the Arts Council's operations and finances.
Like any organization, any entrepreneur, any business, any nonprofit, one has to look at their sources of income or income streams. The Arts Council's no different. And over the past couple years, our income has skewed more toward grants, and we're working to build up the donor base and the sponsorship and having certain benefits for membership. But we just launched them in the midst of COVID. We want to, you know, take a look back and say, okay, going forward, what does it mean to be a member of the Arts Council?
But there is a key difference between the nonprofit and for-profit sectors. Nonprofit arts organizations aren't built for profit. They're built for service. And no matter how imaginative or resourceful their directors are, most councils scrape to meet their budgets and keep existing programs alive. Western North Carolina is particularly challenged with a scarcity of larger corporations, which tend to be reliably large donors to the arts in their communities. Over the past 2 years, the Asheville Area Arts Council lost its building, which included a gallery and a handful of artist studios, for rent, along with nearly its entire staff. The council is now down to one full-time director who does her advocacy work from home and a part-time development manager. The Tow River Arts Council is robust in staffing and budget compared to its peer councils. Neely Andrews attributes that to artist members who have lived in the area and been committed to the council for decades, along with a drive to modernize and remain relevant to a changing community. Still, is their model sustainable? Andrews and other council directors see it as an open question.
We have found a lot of success in having conversations with our community and talking to them about perception and need and desire and really listening and thinking about what they're saying and how we can help and not just apply our programming because we think it's what they need.
Arts councils all over the state have their calendars circled for May 3rd. That's the deadline to apply for one of the key pots of money distributed from the North Carolina legislature. While modest compared to their overall budgets, for Lee Forrester of Hayward County and other arts council leaders, state allocations are still their most stable source of revenue.
The reality is, if you're not laughing, you're crying. And there's no point in doing that. So we just keep chugging along.
I'm Matt Pikin, and you're listening to The Porch from BPR News. After this short break, we dive into public education and how the arts and sciences collaborate.